Today on Talk About That, I sell plants while not knowing anything about them and get caught cheating on the Titans with another team. Meanwhile, John talks about being an easy target for teasing and has his mind blown by the oldest joke in the world. Also, we read listener emails, including a question about church trauma and knowing when it's time to move on to another church. Today's episode is not sponsored by your 40s. Surprise, now your back hurts for no reason. Let's go.
Fall is in the air, Johnny. It's another episode of Talk About That.
It is beautiful.
It's very rainy and cold.
I think my trees are dying.
Like the ones you planted in the backyard?
I had two, what are they called? What are those ones called? Weeping willow.
Oh.
And I planted them because my yard gets a little trench in it of water.
Right.
And I've heard that's what you plant in a place.
That's what I did, yeah.
Natural and spring. It soaks it up like a sponge.
But no.
Well, the leaves fell off, and I don't think that's supposed to happen.
Mm.
Do they?
Off of a willow?
Do they shed their leaves?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I'm okay.
But it's a little early. Look outside, Johnny.
They turn brown and spotty first, and so I heard that's a bad thing. Like, that means some kind of a
bug. My willow tree died that I did completely. I went out and was like, I think this might be dead, and I grabbed it, and it just snapped off of my hand, except one branch was coming out of the ground.
And don't tell me it grew into a willow.
It grew into a 40-foot willow tree out of that one branch. Yeah, I staked that branch up.
Won't that preach?
Guys, it has preached, actually.
Has it really?
And then the tornado actually took that tree down. I found that after we moved. So, yeah. Man. Guys, thanks for listening.
Sometimes.
Don't give up until you have to.
Until a tornado makes you give up. Yeah.
So, in this case, it was a real tornado.
Yeah, the actual aguapo. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about planting, so I just threw it in a hole and I just prayed for the best.
Didn't you work in the planting department?
I did. That makes it even
worse.
Home Depot? That makes it even worse. So I worked so I got a job at Home Depot when I was like 21 and or 20. And they were like, they put me in the outside garden department. So I'm selling all this stuff to people. I don't know anything. My favorite memory was when somebody came in one time and they were like, I'm from the north and I'm looking for this plant that I see all over the place. It goes up the sides of walls, this big, wide, waxy green leaf. I go, are you talking about kudzu? She goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, it's right over there by the poison sumac. Like, what? She wanted kudzu.
Which is like overtaking the entire South and killing all of the
forests.
Right.
People hate kudzu, but she thought it was so pretty. And she's like, I'd love for kudzu to overtake one side.
Isn't that just like
she thinks
lives.
She can control it, but you can't control kudzu.
Guys, you can't control
kudzu. Just like sin, John.
Mm, you think you want a little bit.
You think you want sin on one side of your house, and it's going to overtake your house.
Ugh.
And everything in it.
My goodness.
But yeah, so that was fun. But yeah, people would come. One time somebody came in and they bought 10 bags of manure, like cow manure. It was like for planting. And so they...
I hope that's what it was for.
We hope so. She loads it into the back of her little Kia Sportage or whatever.
She put it on someone's porch and lit it on fire.
It was the biggest Halloween prank you've ever seen. Somebody came in and was stomping it out for weeks. No, she came back like 10 minutes later and she was like, can somebody help me unload this? These things stink. And I thought it was just so funny. Like she had no idea she had no idea cow manure would stink.
Wow.
She couldn't even get home with it.
she put it in a closed car.
Yeah. She just put it in a closed car and thought, like, I'll get this to the...
No, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. So those bags of manure, turns out, they smell like poop.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know anything about planting, and so I just kind of faked it. I wanted full-time hours. I was a cashier, and they said, well, we can give you full-time hours, but we're going to put you outside in the garden department as the cashier there. So people come in with all their questions, and I just be like,
I'm a cashier.
But then by the end of it, you just go, yeah, they're over there. And I did learn a lot of like names of plants, and like this grows in the shade, this grows in the sun, but then you forget it all. And I don't know anything about trees. So you just hope, you hope against hope. I threw this in a hole. It's a tree. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know, I have an app called Picture This.
Yeah.
And you can go to any plant and take a picture.
Right.
And it will tell you what it is.
Oh,
everything
wow.
about it.
Look
its
at that.
Latin name, where
I
it
need
grows.
To do that.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's such an old man. Like, I feel like
learning
I should be,
the Latin name is probably less important here.
I don't know. I think it's, but it's one of the, I feel like.
Probably to a preacher, it's more important. You're like, oh, wow, look
at
this.
Is it progressive that you're turning into your parents?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that. Like I'm walking around snapping pictures of plants all the time now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, it's an arborvita, you know, whatever. But
I'm afraid I would do that and it'd be like, this tree is dead, you know. And that's in Spanish, that's muerte. You know, it would just be like, oh, good.
Thanks, yeah.
You forgot to put any agua on it.
Yeah. I do think that if it has a disease or something, it will also identify that. It'll tell you like what parasite or what you're doing, how to treat it.
We need that for people. Just start flashing.
Hey,
people
COVID.
Come if people kind of just took a picture of me and just like ran away, I'd be like, what was that about? Oh, he's got that app. Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Then I just get a random text. You have diabetes, by the way. Oh, I knew it.
I kind of had a feeling.
Yeah, I had a bad feeling.
Speaking of diabetes, I really took down that loaf of bread today.
Yeah, you know, normally they come and they go, would you like bread? And I feel bad saying yes because you're always on keto, and I've not been on keto. But because then I'll eat the bread in front of you. Like, just I only have one or two pieces because I don't have, you know, I got the weird the surgically altered stomach. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll have a little bit of bread. But you tore into that bread. And you ate the bulk of the bread.
I ate a lot of bread.
It's a loaf.
I still ordered a keto meal.
Yeah.
And ordered my salad without croutons,
which
and then
like,
ate a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
That's not the point. You're running. You ran today in the rain.
I did run in the rain.
That's how you train, bro. That's how the Titans do. You saw those Derrick Henry training videos. We were talking about this. Derrick Henry is an animal. There's a video of him standing on one of those half circle exercise balls where it's flat on the bottom, and you stand on it to get your balance, and it's like a balance training and core training. He's got one leg in the air, 1 foot planted on that thing, and 300-pound guys are running at him in the training facility, and he's stiff-arming them and not being knocked off of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could stand on 1 foot right now.
Right.
Like, just here.
No.
That's crazy.
So
he
just
gets better, man. He gets better as the game goes on.
That guy.
It's like a video game. Like, now, often they'll, you know, put a bunch of guys in the box and keep him from getting a bunch of yards in the first half.
Well, that's when you go Tannehill, bro. That's when he's,
I mean, I'm telling you, if you get A.J. Brown and Julio Jones both healthy at the same time, you know, I mean, if they could be healthy at the end of the season, this team
we're going to do some damage. Yeah. We beat the Chiefs. We beat the Bills.
The Chiefs are down.
Successive weeks. They're down, but that's the thing, though. But if they had blown us out, nobody would have been surprised.
Yeah.
Because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, we lost a game this year we shouldn't have.
Oh, the Jets.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it made us look kind of like, are we going to be average? And we lost to Arizona week one. We got blown out.
And they're undefeated still.
Right. So that's a good loss, if there's such a thing.
But in NFL, anybody can beat anybody in a given
Any given
game.
Sunday, John. That's what they say.
That's what they call it.
Okay, so we haven't talked about this, but a few weeks ago, I stayed over. I was on tour with Tim Hawkins in Green Bay. Mm. And the promoter's a guy named Patrick Gere, great guy. And
love
his
Patrick.
Uncle has, that's right, we've done events together with Patrick. So Patrick has an uncle who has box seats at Green Bay, at Lambeau. And so he goes, you guys wouldn't want to stay. And normally Tim just doesn't do that kind of thing. He's like, I got to get back, whatever. But now Tim's like the new improved chill Tim that does like 1 weekend a month of shows. And he just doesn't, he's just like, let's do it. So then he invited me to come. Patrick's like, do you want the other ticket? And I was like, I got to get back. I got a show on Tuesday. Or I got a show on Wednesday, and I got to be back. It's a whole drive day. I mean, I drove my dumb hybrid to Green Bay. So I'm like, I got to drive a whole day, and then I'm going to be haggard. I need this day, so I can't do it. And then the more the weekend wore on, I go, who'd you give the ticket to? And he goes, I still haven't found anybody to take it. I go, it's the Lord. I got to do it. So it was Saturday night, and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay. So I call my wife. I go, you care if I stay? She goes, you got to do it. You're going to hate yourself. If you don't go to Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers last year there, and see a Packers game on Monday Night Football. So we did it. So it's a whole day of stuff. It's like the reason I mention it in conjunction with, like, we talk about the Vols a lot, is it feels like a college town.
Right.
They love their Packers so much, and they tailgate all day. And there's these little houses that are lining the street, like right across the way. Mm-hmm. And they're just little simple houses. I mean, it's not like this is like a great fancy neighborhood. It's a very interesting town. So like the tallest building in Green Bay is the Jumbotron.
Wow.
Like, it's the highest point in Green Bay.
And that'll preach.
And that's something? I don't know how, but it will. So anyway, you have to have so these houses, they throw little tailgate parties, big tailgate parties. And basically, it's invite only, and they give this big donation to whatever local charity.
Yeah.
at the end of the thing. And so you just like, hey, come have all my cheese duds and here's some pigs in a blanket and here's some cornhole you can play and grab a beer, whatever. And then at the end, you make a little donation in their box and then they make a donation. So it's like this whole interesting atmosphere.
Wow.
So Patrick got us into one of those. So we're hanging out and you see the stadium. It's right across the street. It's just so bizarre, but it was such a cool experience. But here's the one thing that I got just tagged for consistently. Cause you know, my buddy's Brian Bates, who is like the king of the trolls.
Right.
Like he's the king of roasting you. The minute he sees a weakness, he goes in. He's so funny. So Tim's doing a video. Well, Patrick shows up. He goes, well, here, we're all going to go. But you guys just can't show up. Well, these are box seats and there's an expectation. So I've got some Packers gear. Y'all either need to go get some Packers gear or you need to like just borrow this stuff. I have a few jerseys. So I have to like choose a Packers jersey to wear to this game as a Titans fan. I mean, I'm a Titans fan, and I also like of some other teams. And I think Packers are one of those teams that are like, the NFL's better when they're good.
Yeah.
They're an important franchise.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like, oh, it burns when I put it on. But I chose Favre because, again, he's not playing anymore, whatever. He's a beloved figure there. The other option I had, if he had a Reggie White jersey, it would have been a no-brainer.
Sure.
Because Reggie White, former Tennessee Volunteer. No Reggie White was not in the mix. You know what the other one, my other choices were? A Charles Woodson jersey.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, sir.
No.
You take that and you get it out of my face.
Yes. The Heisman Stealer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because Peyton should have won the Heisman that year and it went to the Woodson. So, that was the whole thing. But if he'd beaten Florida, it would have been a no-brainer. So,
come on,
Peyton
man.
Never beat Florida.
Come
on. Come on. It's fine.
He won the SEC that year.
He did.
Give him a break.
Okay.
He had to be perfect is what you're saying. Was Charles Woodson perfect?
But he played both ways. That was part of what Woodson's appeal was, right? Was
he had like 7 interceptions on the year. Johnny, I have 7 interceptions right now on the year. Those are not great stats. Anyway.
So I chose Favre. And so Tim's doing like a little Instagram story as we're walking the stadium. Like, my first Packers game, so excited. And then he sees me in the back of his shot and he goes, Johnny W, go. So I get a text 30 seconds after that story is posted. And it's a screenshot of that. And it just says, unbelievable, because I'm wearing a Favre jersey and it's Brian Bates. And so he has not stopped teasing me. So every time the Packers win, he goes, big win for your boys today. Like I'm a Packers fan now. And when I say anything good about the Titans, he's like, really? Oh, now wow. You want to get on board?
Wow. But they're NFC, right?
They are, but it just feels like, you know, you can't.
You can.
What am I going to do, wear a Titans jersey up in the box seats of my Lambeau Field?
Be
like,
NFC.
No Titans!
You can
just,
have it.
You know, like get thrown out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I took my buddy Matt to a Tennessee basketball game. I was writing for someone who had seats on the floor, like front row.
Yeah.
And it was like, go to the club where you hear the coaches talk. I mean, we got like scouting reports.
Oh, right. And there was food.
Yeah. It was crazy. And, well, he's a Florida fan.
Yeah.
But he had to. I was like, dude, we can't show up.
Bunch of Florida gear.
No. So he did. He wore Tennessee that day.
What?
Yeah. I mean, he had to.
Wow. That's some compromise.
I mean, to honor the man that got us the seats because we were hanging out with him and his wife. Yeah. Was like, I mean.
Here's the thing. It's a hated. It's like we have a hated rivalry with Florida, but it's really our side because Florida does not feel threatened by us at this point. I don't think.
Well, there's more than one sport, Johnny.
I know, but come on.
Tennessee basketball has dominated Florida for a bit.
Yeah, but you're right.
Tennessee baseball last year, Matt, we went to the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. Matt kind of blew it. That was.
Yeah.
He compromises morals to get good seats and free food.
I think he liked it. We lost that game. It was like LSU, I think, but he had a good time for the free food.
What have you ever had like a jersey? What jerseys have you had in your sports rooting career?
We don't do a lot of jerseys.
Yeah, but you have a lot of apparel. You have a lot of orange in your
wardrobe. So I went to, by the way, speaking of, I went to Thompson Bowling Arena last night to watch Tennessee Lady Vol volleyball team.
Lady Volleyball, they call it.
Hi-yo. Take on the Kentucky Wildcats, who are the defending national champions. So we drove up, and even though it was a school night.
Yeah.
And they were doing checkerboard. It was, it holds 22,000, but I mean, volleyball games usually there's like 1,500. They had like 3,000 last night. So it was a lot more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But they had free shirts where they were checkerboarding, like on every seat. Orange and
white. How do they do that not knowing the size of the people they're going to be?
That was the hard part. So yeah. They had orange and white ones. They looked like
you get a small. Good luck.
Well, it was like by the end, there were a lot of shirts left. So I went around and found a large because that's what I need, Johnny.
Oh, you walked around and stole from another seat? Is that what you're saying to me?
I don't think I like the words you're using. No, they were
Johnny, just pulling over what you were wearing, or did you take your shirt off?
No, I didn't put it on at all. I just took it home. I was already wearing UT apparel.
Yeah, but I'm saying, was it the right color for the checkerboard?
I don't think the checkerboard worked. No one appeared to be...
more of a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yeah. I was like, I don't see a checker, but I don't know. And you're only on one
it's
side.
It's one of those magic eye things. You're like, is that a rooster? What's happening?
And poor Lady Vol's got...
blur your vision. Look through it.
Exactly. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. We got killed.
But, oh, that's what I was going to say. We didn't win, did we?
No, and they're good. They just didn't play their game. We watch a lot of their, almost every one of their games, and they just didn't play their game. So.
They're just not as good. That's what happens. The other team keeps you from playing your game. That's why they're better.
I don't know. Things were happening.
Unforced errors in volleyball. Yeah, a lot of that.
Stuff they don't normally do. So, look, when you serve into the net, that's on you.
I want that preach.
Boy, come
how
on,
many
guys.
Unforced errors are there in our own lives?
Guys, stop forcing.
Stop blaming the devil. For your hitting it into the net.
Right.
The net being...
Listen, it's like that pastor said that time.
Yeah.
If it... Oh, never mind. I can't.
This would be inappropriate.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of those true stories of things pastor said that...
Yeah. Didn't we have a question about that? Didn't somebody send in like a deep probing church question? Because like people that take us seriously and be like, they can help.
You don't think that...
We're not going to help.
I don't think we can help.
You do?
This is like your Home Depot thing.
You can do it. We can help.
Hey, listeners, you can do it. We can help. We did get a question. So you might hear a ding on the email here because I'm opening it. So I apologize for that.
It dings when you open an email?
Yes.
Oh, you mean when you open it and emails come through because you're so popular?
Wow.
When I unleash this floodgate, hold on to your butts. I'm very popular.
Turns out nothing has come in.
It's a bunch of spam.
We did have, speaking of Tennessee, Florida, Thomas, one of our listeners, I'm not sure we read this before, but back before the Florida game, said, good morning, huge fan of the podcast, the depth of discussion of life, theology, and even Tennessee football. That being said, go Gators.
Mm.
I just want to hear one of y'all say that smiley face. Thanks, Thomas. You heard
Thomas,
us say
you
it.
You son of a gun.
Thomas. It's just...
You tricked us.
Yeah, you got us there. But the Gators are cut and badly bleeding, so they're not doing
well.
Not
before they hammered us, though.
Well, you know, Johnny, if we would have played against them like
we
played...
You think we could beat them now? Is that what you're going to say?
Absolutely. If you have... That would have been a way different game.
We're better now.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll get...
They make us play a game that's not our game.
Oh, every time.
Like... That gator on the helmet is worth like 7 points to our guys.
Absolutely.
For some reason. It has been for a decade and a half.
Well, in Kentucky, who's got one loss, plays us next week.
Yeah.
And Ty and I, our youth pastor, are talking about that. He's a big Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
Like, Tennessee's kind of that for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're way... I'd say they're better than us this year.
Yeah.
But you just never know when you play Tennessee if you're Kentucky. So, and we'll walk in there over, you know, with confidence that we... Anyway, got to preach to. And then we also got this from a guy named Logan Lopez.
Okay.
Who... just sent us, there was no introduction, no nicety, and I appreciate that. It was direct and to the point. It just said this: if somebody steals your face, can you say you got mugged? That was it.
So people are just sending us dad jokes.
They're just sending us jokes.
Logan Lopez sounds like a guy who would be like the alter ego, like the real name of like a Marvel comic book character.
Yeah, it really does. It's a cool
name.
Like
he was Logan Lopez and he became like whatever. Right, the conquistador
right,
or whatever.
Until the radioactive ant took a bite out of his thigh and now he's whatever. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that what happens? That was what happens to radioactive ants. How did Ant-Man get created? How did Ant-Man become Ant-Man? He didn't get bit by an ant, did he?
I don't know that backstory.
I think he's just called that because he shrinks down to the size of an ant, right?
But how did that happen?
Oh.
I don't know. I'm so far behind. Is that a Marvel?
Yeah, it's a Marvel.
Apparently, they've ended the Marvel.
And there's a whole thing. Oh, they've ended it?
Well, they ended that Marvel Universe story, and now the Eternals are coming out, which is like the new heroes.
Oh, right.
So
right.
Apparently, it's spoiler alert, but I haven't watched Endgame or any of them except...
Yeah.
I watched an Iron Man or two in the beginning.
Let me tell you a little story, Johnny. We're all Eternals.
Oh, guys.
Mm-hmm. We're all heroes, for good or for bad. You can be a hero. Mm. I don't know. I can be your hero, baby. Wait. Who sang that? Enrique?
Can be a hero, man.
Who was that?
Not
Enrique Iglesias, was it?
I don't know.
He always sounds like he's going to cry. I can be a hero, baby. It's like he's just going to break down.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I think if you're good looking, you can get away with that.
Oh, yeah. He's sensitive.
If I started crying, they're like, dude, pull it together.
Yeah.
Enrique does it.
Different.
Oh, wow. He's so sensitive. I'm mm-hmm. sick of this. I'm always competing with Enrique Iglesias.
If that's who that was. Maybe it was. Who was the one that was married to J-Lo?
Bob Lowe?
I don't know. No. Of course, she's back with Affleck now.
Is she?
Yeah. Good for them.
The duck? No, that's Affleck.
That's Affleck. Not bad. It's different. Yeah. Good for them. Whatever. Well, yeah. I hope they find happiness.
Well, you know, they're real people.
They are. Yeah. I didn't. Who said they weren't?
Well, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I think we see.
We do. We you know, we use celebrities as our grist and yeah. our, you know, we. But it's, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
But it is interesting when somebody breaks up. Like, I met somebody last week, and we were talking, and they were the show promoter that brought me in, and they were telling me a little bit of their story, and they had remarried a husband that they had divorced, like, 10 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And now they were like, yeah, and we're really happy now. And I find that fascinating. When somebody like breaks up and then 10 years go by and they're like, you want to give this a go again? And they're like,
yeah, I know quite a few stories in ministry about that.
Yeah. I guess there's like a familiarity there.
Yeah. Well, maybe
you grow. And you grow and you're like, oh, that thing that like bugged me, I realize now.
Yeah.
Like that was my issue. That wasn't about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, I hate that person. I wish they would die. And you go on living in that moment. But sometimes you're like, oh, that was a lot about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. People hate their exes, man. I think I would be a bad. I hope I would be a good ex. You know, I think I was a good ex-boyfriend.
This is a really dark tunnel.
But I wonder if, like, you know what I'm saying? Do you ever think about that? Like, what kind of. Because you see these relationships, they're so contentious, and people hate their ex-spouses. But I just wonder, like, what. Would I be civil? Would I be. Or would I just hold everything against the person? I don't know. I'm just going to stay married.
Yeah, I think you. Yeah, don't.
I don't have it in me.
No.
Like you said, I'm a loyalist. I just, you know, I'm like. Why would I upset the apple cart? Let's just fix this thing.
Listen, I mean, again, you have the wife that God made for you, bro.
Right.
Like, don't go.
Right.
Like, this is what needed to happen for you.
You're right.
Because who else could put up?
Not a lot.
I mean,
not a lot of people.
Sure, stay in Green Bay. Who else would do
exactly.
that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go to work.
Yeah. I'll stay here and hold everything
out.
Together
mm-hmm.
while you're out there just gallivanting around the country with your friends wearing jerseys that aren't even your team.
You're right. I'm going to stay put.
Yeah. You need to. I'm glad we had this talk.
It feels like the jersey analogy rings even true. Like, don't go wearing other people's jerseys.
Mm. I think that was TLC that sang that song.
That's one of the worst songs. Like, that's a song that if it comes on, I will turn the station.
Really?
Waterfalls.
Why?
It annoys me so bad. It's just gross. And she doesn't, like, really sing. It's just very ugh.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make any sense. Who chases a waterfall?
Yeah, it does feel like that they stick with the metaphor too long in the course to me.
Yeah,
stick with the rivers and the lakes you're used to. It's like, I don't know, that's a lot of water language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that could almost be a worship song. It's got so much water references. You know, we love water references in worship songs.
Oh yeah, we do, man.
I don't know.
We do.
All right, so we got the mug. We got the dad joke.
Hey, good job, Logan, by the way.
You are a superhero. You are. You're a superhero.
Keep him coming, buddy. Keep him coming. We like it. And Thomas, you know how we feel about you.
Yeah.
But no, thank you for your email. We appreciate it. Yeah, so Christine writes to us, says, hey, John and Johnny, thank you for your answer to my previous question. We did a Matthew McConaughey thing with this listener. And
we did him.
We talk about Michael McConaughey.
Matthew.
No, Michael, his very lesser known cousin. No, Matt. I don't remember exactly what we said. But anyway, we did. Another question: have either of you experienced a church reorganization process as a result of either a lead pastor leaving or something else? If you have, could you discuss how your church handled it? If not, could you guys discuss how you would handle it if it does happen at your church? How do you know when it is time to leave your church and find another one? How do you know if you're supposed to stay where you're at? And so the man's, man, wow. Those are questions a lot of people are dealing with.
Yeah, then every church I go to now to do shows at, people are dealing with, like, people have moved on. People aren't coming back from being in the whole like video online service thing that like upset the whatever the continuity of everything. Yep. And then they just kind of isolated for long enough that they were like, all right. And church became not as big a part of their lives, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
And then some people were like, this was an excuse to move on because I was in an unhealthy situation. And this was like my excuse to be like, oh, I can't make it. You know, COVID's crazy. And meanwhile, they're like church shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we definitely had some of that. There was a time with community leaders where like, we're not sure who all is coming back when they come back. Mm-hmm. We'll have to kind of wait and see, though, in our community groups we know where people are generally. That's why communities are so important.
I'm trying to think of where we have been together that there was a reorganization like that, though, where a change of leadership, a big change of leadership.
Well, I mean, here we haven't had a change of leadership of the lead pastor. We did have a major reorganization, though.
Yeah.
Where we used to be a part of a denomination and we disaffiliated.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And we disaffiliated. And then we got sued and for our property. Because we have about 28 acres here off of I-40. And it was kind of crazy. Like, that was not normal.
Right.
Our constitution seemed to not allow for that. it was a weird time. We lost some people, you know, obviously with the disaffiliation, and then we had to kind of decide whether to defend or not. But it was a hard time for a church, about a year there. And the suit eventually got dropped. And then we changed names, kind of went to different, we went to an elder-based model, all those kinds of things. The churches we were always in together. Now, we did see youth pastor turnover and drama.
Yeah, well, that's normal.
But drama over it, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the question of, like, when do you leave or when do you stay? Now, that, I mean, regardless of the,
yeah.
I think a church is always changing to some extent. If it's not, that might even say something, you know, like, I think that it needs to be in motion and learning and you know, changing in the right ways, always like evaluating and adding staff that's, you know, bringing new ideas and those kinds of things. But yeah, I don't really know like that there's a magic line of when to leave or when to stay. I'm really on a mission trying to, it's really hard for a church not to be about, I'm not saying that this listener is saying this, but it's hard for all of us to disengage from a lead pastor paradigm. Like, okay, I evaluate this church. In fact, in our old denomination, you remember this, Johnny, like they would even say, that's Andrew's church. He's our lead pastor.
Yeah.
You know, that's Tommy's church or that's whoever's church. Like, and it sounds just, that's just the language they use, but it really meant that to them.
Right.
It was defined.
It endows some kind of a ownership quality to it.
One half the church signs around town.
Yeah.
Your lead pastor, our lead pastor's name is not on our sign.
Right.
That was like a real key thing for him. Or on our website immediately, the first thing you see.
Yeah. It's like hard not to fall into that, having your cult of personality like wrapped up into, which immediately when something happens with the pastor, like people fall away because they're like, everything I was believing was wrapped up in this person and this person's teaching and this person's personality.
Yeah. I mean, I am a believer in leadership and I'm a believer that.
Not me.
Nope. All followership. I think that it matters, but to me, the way we try to evaluate church now, and this is still like, I'm a work in progress here, and it's going to sound like a sermon, Johnny, so go ahead and roll your eyes now.
Okay.
But I think this is really key. Like, church should be evaluated by how we are being and making disciples.
Yeah.
And then you got to decide what that means because everybody assumes that that's a thing they already know. So how are we being and making disciples? And when I say the church, I mean me, my role in it. So you could be in a church and go, well, they're not being and making disciples here. You have to ask the question, are you being and making disciples here?
Right.
Then you begin, if you start from there, instead of starting from the outside in, you start from the inside out a little bit and sort of go out. Well, then you could begin to evaluate, is there an ethos here where that's encouraged, where I'm equipped to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a community mindset where I actually have people to do that with? Like, we're not talking about just having connections, but Am I either equipped or challenged to actually affect someone else's life with this list of things? Like, are we actually ever having a conversation about this or about that? Or is isolation really easy to do? That may not be and this is where the language matters. That may not be the quote unquote, the church leadership's fault. That can happen anywhere. Like, I love to hide. I mean, I'm a introvert. Yeah. So, but I mean, is that, you know, if there may be a truly quote unquote successful church, meaning what? Lots of people there, dynamic speaker, great worship, good programs.
Sure.
You know, and they may be making disciples, you know, and it sounds super judgy. Like, how do you know if they are? And I mean, I think that's that question. Hey, how are you? Are you growing in that body? And are you, and if you're not accessing everything that the church is inviting you to, then do that first. Like, I say, stay until and try that. I've had people before leave church and I'd go, you know, you've yet to do the thing that we've been asking you to do. Like, why don't we try this first before you go?
That is such a pastor thing to say, John.
you're like, hey, this church isn't growing. And like, I had this conversation with a bunch of leaders of the night. I was like, hey, how many of you have invited anybody to church in the last 2 years?
I thought this was going to be about me not having kids.
So, Johnny, have some kids, man.
No wonder we're not growing.
You know, how many of you, I mean, it's like, hey, there's no condemnation in that, but y'all know that's how a lot of that works. Like,
right, that's how churches work.
You're wanting us to, and we do, we can send our podcast of the sermons out.
But we've been a part of churches before where you were afraid to invite people.
Absolutely.
That's usually when you know it's time to move on, by the way.
Dude, that's so true.
If you're terrified that a friend might come. I hope today is another day. Crazy Jan, you know,
grabs a flag.
Yeah, grabs a flag and runs a lap.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh yeah,
a lot. I don't know if it's
Crazy Jan. I don't. There's
nothing.
That's
just everybody named Jan.
Imaginary character. Yeah. His real name was Logan Lopez. No, it wasn't.
A single tear falls down Logan's face right now. So, no, I don't. That's such a great point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a place right now where our church is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I mean, I truly am great with people being here.
Yeah.
The only thing I worry about is them thinking it's smaller. And that's
a change. Yeah, because nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. Right. It's that whole thing of like, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, every week I'm seeing life-changing people and, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I go, well. And then some weeks at our church right now because of COVID, seriously, we will have double.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah, it really is. It's still like hiccups. And I don't think it's so funny because different states are going through different versions of that. Like, even with performing, like my buddy Aaron Weber, he just did a thing and it was a taping for like CW or something. And it was like a ton of comedians, like Howie Mandel put it together. So it was Howie Mandel presents and it's such and such comics.
Yeah.
And so Patton Oswalt goes out, does a set, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, almost all the comedians went out and said, man, it's so weird to be in front of people.
Yeah.
Like that was in all of their sets because they're all LA comics except for Aaron and maybe one other guy. And Aaron was like, I've been touring for a year.
Wow.
So it's like everybody's experiencing the pandemic differently. So some churches, like if I go in and I even say something like, man, it's been a weird X time, they look at me like I'm like, no, it's not.
Right.
We
didn't change at all.
It's not weird at all right now. And I'm like, no, it's weird. I promise you.
If it was never weird for you, that might be weird. Yeah. I mean, I think changing dynamics and the drama of that is really, really hard. When there's like a dude, I'm here and I haven't even told you this. I can't tell you. I'll just tell you there's a situation off the air. I'll tell you about.
Oh, wow. This is
where, I mean, like people in ministry,
we'll tell our patrons.
Yeah.
You get to know the inside dirt
drama where people in ministry aren't even speaking to each other anymore from the same church. And you know, it's all, and they're, you know, it's hard. That happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And you go, we try.
Church drama is like its own flavor. It's its own. It's so weird too, because it feels like it carries extra pain because it's like people invoke the name of God to go along with their weird trip. And then you're just like, oh, and that makes it extra painful.
I hate it. I just know in my life I've contributed. And still, I mean, there are things.
I was going to say, you've contributed.
I think you know. Yeah.
This is an intervention.
Yeah, there's no, I think conflict is to be expected.
Yeah. To expect no conflict in church is also like
no real relationship. That,
yeah, that's a real like that's a bridge too far. You can't. That's a naive thing to think like, yeah. Oh, it'll be a perfect place full of perfect people, and I can't believe this person let me down in church. Like that's not a fair expectation.
Yeah, but there are things though that are worth leaving a church over. Sometimes I've told people to leave.
I'm going to read a list that I've made.
Specifically, John.
I've had it folded up in my back pocket for a week now.
I mean, I don't, part of maybe recovery is that I'm not just trying to hold on to everybody.
Yeah, and, that's healthy,
you
I guess.
Know, build some, I mean, my friends all know like, hey, you know, guys, I you may not always stay at the church I'm at, all those things, but I have very loyal friends. I know they still struggle with that. Mm-hmm. Plus, I don't even know the church world's so up in the air. You know, I don't even know what planet we're on sometimes. We're just going to have to do what we can do.
Yeah.
But I think that I would do everything possible to I mean, if I'm going to answer this question. Like, stay as long as you can wherever you are. I mean, I'm a bloom where you're planted kind of guy, not to be cliche, but I just, like, I want to make sure this makes sense. I mean, if it's just some drama or just some conflict, like, hey, how can we apply scripture to this and get through this? It may strengthen relationships. Doesn't mean to go necessarily.
Yeah.
But if we're not going to handle it and it's just going to be conflict constantly, it's not going to be handled, then yeah, I mean, give it some time and see.
If you were planted by me and say you're a weeping willow.
Right.
That could be a whole different scenario. You need an app to tell you whether or not.
You won't be blooming.
We should be able to take a picture of someone and it comes back with the results, should you leave your church? Look at the look on this guy's face. Should he leave his church?
Well, I mean, again, I always say a lot of the people I know are here not because of the pastors right now.
Yeah.
They're here because of their community. And the pastors are leading that. Like, I want to build something that people are so deeply connected that I don't have to hit a home run every Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm past that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a pressure on pastors to be like Tony Robbins every week versus like, hey, this is a guy who's another guy who's just dealing with his Christianity the way that we all are. And he's living out his faith, but he's doing this thing. It's like, there's not this expectation, like this better be manna from heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. The fed, that's a pet peeve for pastors, but
not getting fed or whatever.
I'm not getting fed, you know, and I used to just light people up when they leave the church over that. Like, oh yeah, what are you, a baby? You know, do you not feed yourself? You know, you had all these sort of,
and you would go into that voice.
Do you not do this? but you know, there's a truth to it. Like, I mean, hey, I would always go, how many, I used 15 scriptures this week. Like, you know, I didn't write those. So, I mean, I don't know what that means at some point, but I do understand, am I communicating a topic? Maybe you just don't like the topic I'm talking about.
Yeah, that can be part of it.
But I would always say, hey, Sunday morning should not be your only, I mean, this is a really important thing that we do.
You only eat once a week, John.
Guys, come on now.
Well, that.
Come on. Anemia sets in.
Is that what happens?
I don't know.
Scurvy.
some of y'all need to be cutting up your spiritual limes and anyway.
Getting your citruses.
Yeah. Citruses. But, you know, I am probably more fed, if you want to use that term, by the people around me.
Yeah.
So they're both are happening, not just one or the other.
I feel like I'm a drain on you. I don't feel like I feed you.
Yeah, no.
You think, I don't, I feel like you're always encouraging me and I'm always like, I'm just hanging on here, John, please give me something. Tell me why not to give up. And you're like, Johnny, look at you, man. You got a great, I don't think I'm bringing a lot to the table in this relationship.
That is not true, Johnny. Okay. All right. You were encouraging me today because I had a podcast episode come out.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I sound so chill, almost sounds sedated.
Yeah.
And they were asking me big questions.
What if they lowered it? Wouldn't that be interesting? Like, that's
that was
power move.
Part of the thing. Like, yeah.
It's their power move.
Then I worry that I talked too long because they were like big 4-part questions. Like, hey, and I'll promo it at the end. But they're like, hey, so tell us how being a counterphobic 6 led you to explore the role of anxiety and fear in your life, and then how that helped you learn how to address racism with your friend. And in that, how did it get you started on writing this book?
Yeah.
Like, oh man. So 20 minutes
that's
later.
That's all you need, bro. Let John, just wind John up and let him go.
I'm like the monkey with the
symbol.
Well,
you told me, you go, listen how I'm maxed out. You totally let me, you played some of it before we started. And you go, let me play you some of me. And then you'll hear this guy come in. It's going to be blood curdling because I got it maxed out. I'm listening to you. And then you just kept talking. I was like, I'm waiting on this guy to talk. If you'd shut up for half a second, I can't get a word in edgewise. I was like, when's he going to learn to just interrupt you like I do?
I kept waiting on it. I was like, someone has to stop me. You can't just let me go. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I'm obviously a little insecure about the interview. I'm about to cut all this out because I need to make this a good promo. But
no, I think it's great. It's vulnerable.
You were like, no, man.
I think more people are going to listen to see if you're right.
They're not going to care about what I said. Caring.
No, they totally are.
I don't want to train people to also think that I talk too long. You know what I'm saying? Like, see, now we're, you joke about it long enough, Johnny.
That's true.
It becomes a truth to somebody. Mm. that windbag, John, won't shut his yap. You know what I'm saying?
Or if they just know that it's something you're sensitive about, they're going to tease you, and that's what you don't want.
That's my whole life. You know that.
You are. You're very easy to, like, you're a good sport, people would say, which I call a doormat.
I don't.
That guy's such a good sport.
Such a good.
You never say that about somebody who pushes back.
Yeah.
He's such a good sport.
I don't, all my friends in high school did the same thing.
Yeah.
So apparently it's a thing.
But I think it.
But do you, I mean,
but
I
it want, is fun to be around, though. Like, it's more fun to be around someone who can take a joke about themselves.
Yeah, but I do believe a lot of it to be true as well. So it's okay. I can. No, you're right. I like taking.
I've hurt
a joke.
Your feelings, John.
You've not hurt my feelings.
Okay,
Johnny.
Good. All
no,
right.
No, no, no. I do. You know, here's the thing. The boldness in me, the pushback is not the joke. The pushback is being okay with who I am.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm working towards. Like, hey, I got to keep improving, but I've been on an improvement plan since I was born. Like, I'm built.
Oh, that is a book right there.
I am built to always think I need self-improvement, and I do, but like, I have to challenge that constant self-critique.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is just going, hey, dude, I mean, you write 50,000 word books for a living. Like, you're not, you can do short form things, but that's why podcasts are easier for me. Like, than social media, even. Like, that's okay. You have a role, and it's not the comedian who can do this in 50 words. You know, like, your role is different, and getting more comfortable with that as I grow to not, overwhelm people with long, speeches and whatnot.
50 words is too many, too, by the way.
Dude, Theodore Roosevelt would speak so long.
Yeah.
One time I told this story, right? The dude walked up to assassinate him on the steps of the Capitol, some Capitol building, maybe, and it hit his speech, the bullet, and it stopped it enough. He was bleeding, but he talked for like another hour.
Yeah.
Before they forced him to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that's a pastor's heart right there.
Theodore Roosevelt does it, and everyone's like, oh, he's a hero. John does it, and he is a windbag. I don't understand this like double standard between me and Roosevelt.
Yeah, like if that was my notes, the bullet goes right through.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, because there's not enough pages there.
I wonder if an iPad would have stopped it, because now I have these digital.
I just have like bullet points on my set list. It's like gym bullet class, points. Fart joke, dodgeball, marriage. Mustache, like it's not like thick stuff.
Talk about
yours would be like it was the spring of 1942. I heard a joke the other day, or I saw a tweet about the oldest joke that I know.
Oh,
which is, why did the chicken cross the road?
It's before you do this,
yes,
let me make sure I've wrapped up. Hey, thank you for your question.
Yes,
and the answer is, hey, stick as long as you can. Do all that your leadership's asking to do. Try to be connected in community wherever you are.
Yeah.
And if you see that like things are not leading towards an atmosphere where that's being built, then it may be time to look elsewhere. It may not be being successfully built, but if an atmosphere where they're calling you to that, what are they calling you to?
Yeah.
Are you doing it? Do the best you can with what that is as you pray. And, if that's not it, then maybe make a change. So there you go, Johnny.
I need to know the name of the church before I can tell you whether you should leave.
Church at Pleasant. Wouldn't it be funny if it was one of our
members?
Wouldn't
it be great? What if it was?
It'd be great.
How do I know? And then you'd be like, we're coaching them how to leave.
And they've like made an alternate identity and sent me an email, and I just told them to leave, to come to our church. What if I'd have told you to leave, but come to my church?
Yeah.
What would you do then? Like the universe.
Your head would explode.
All right, oldest joke.
So the oldest joke that I can think of is Why'd the chicken cross the road? And I've heard that joke forever. I always thought it was one of those like jokes like that doesn't make any... It's just like one of those things like to get to the other side. But it's like that joke is about the afterlife.
Wow.
Like the chicken crossed the road because he knows he's going to get hit by a car.
I did not know that.
And so that's how you get to the other side. And when I saw that tweet, I was like, this guy goes, I was today years old when I realized that why did the chicken cross the road to get to this side is actually about the afterlife. And I was like, no, it's that. Oh, that's why that joke's funny. Because the chicken dies.
So a comedian, a professional
comedian. I had no
idea.
I just thought, oh, it's like a, to get to the other side.
This is like a doggy dog world.
It's like a joke, the joke's on you kind of joke. Right. Why the chicken cross the road to get to the other side.
Wow.
But it's actually like a deep joke. That joke is deep.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you have any idea?
No clue.
Isn't that
crazy? I'm not a comedian, so my shame is much less than
yours.
That's true.
Yeah. I feel the shame.
I've never thought about it before.
It's a deep joke.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway. And if you're out there and you're a chicken, just hang on. If you're thinking of leaving, your churches, if you're a chicken, churches, chicken. Anyway, if you're thinking, stay in your churches, chickens.
Listen.
Have you had the church's chicken sandwich?
Get in your bucket of community.
Is it churches or Popeyes that has the new sandwich that people were like killing each other over?
I didn't get into the sandwich wars, the chicken sandwich wars.
Yeah, because you're keto. So you're like, it's breaded. I'm going to blow up 15
pounds. One of those on the commercial, the breaded chicken patty looks so big, like you couldn't wrap your mouth around it. It looks like too sharp. The corners of it look sharp and crispy. Like,
yeah,
wow, that would hurt.
Sandwich should not hurt your mouth.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
These are really hard things, you know, that we're dealing with on this podcast.
There's a lot of deep stuff. Why sandwiches shouldn't hurt your mouth and should you stay in your church?
I did have a Chick-fil-A sandwich on the way to Knoxville last night. I began to get peckish. And
if you will.
Yeah. You know how I am. If I don't eat and it suddenly hits me.
Everybody's that way. It's just people don't recognize it. They go, I'm just so irritable today. Well, have you eaten?
Yeah. It was almost 2 o'clock and I hadn't had lunch. And that's when I should have stayed on keto. And I was like, no, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you want the large waffle fry?
Mm-hmm.
And when you order when you're hungry, it's unbelievable. I was like, yes, I do. Like,
but
I just,
when else would you order? Like, that's when you go. It's like people go, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry. It's like, so die? Just starve to death?
I mean, like, though, starving. Like, here's how I knew.
I know what you mean.
Every red light, I was in Lebanon, and I was like, in my mind, I was like visualizing this villainous Lebanon, like as if the whole city
you got a problem with Lebanon.
Is conspiring against me to keep me from Chick-fil-A because I feel like I'm going to die of hunger. Like I was like Esau with the red bean stew. Like I was like, I got to get
there. Do we know that it was red bean stew?
Yeah. Or he said red stuff is what he said, I think.
Red stuff?
Yeah, give me, I think.
Maybe it was borscht, you know? Because that's a
That'd
beet.
Be a twist.
That's a beet soup.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like I kept getting stopped at the red light and you kept getting, and I was like, the road rage was beginning to rise. I did not access it verbally much.
But you accessed it by ordering the extra large fries.
Like I said, like this city is made to delay us. Like that's that's what it's made for. Like I was.
You are such a Wilson County elitist. You are a Mountain Julian.
I was going off on Lebanon.
You got problems.
Because there's three red lights keeping me from a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Yeah. So that's how you know you're hungry. That's my point. Like there's a different kind of hunger when that's happening. As opposed to just, it's time to eat. No. No, like the world was imploding around me.
Like you got revenge on that sandwich.
Boy. Yeah.
You ate it like it killed your father.
I did. There was it was a dangerous meal.
Yeah.
Because everyone else in the car had already eaten.
Oh.
You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do y'all want anything? So Sadie wanted a lemonade. Laura got a tea. No one else wanted food. And I had this like true like caveman sense of guarding what was mine.
Oh, wow.
So the bag was in my lap. And I thought, you know what's going to happen?
Right.
No one orders it.
They smell the fries. Yeah. Give me a...
Yeah, maybe I could... So I was taking it down.
Especially if it's girls. You got girls in your house. That's how it is, man. They're like, I'm not even hungry.
What's that?
There's a restaurant that has that on their menu, by the way. There's a restaurant. I saw a tweet about it, and it says... There's a menu item that just says, I'm not hungry, and in quotes. And it says, we double your fries and throw in a couple of onion rings. Because it's basically for the when your wife says that.
The only place it works at that I don't mind is Five Guys, because then they fill that bag.
Oh, right. It's a
gigantic. You can't. I will still eat it all. But it's okay if someone else jumps in, but I was eating fast going, someone's going to be asking for this, and I'm not sure I can spare a fry. Like, this is a, it's, and by the time I got to the bottom of the bag, Laura did want one, and I gave her, but I was
good. Do you eat fast, too? I'm trying to remember if you're a fast eater.
I'm a super fast eater.
I mean, I eat like a seventh grader.
I eat like a Marine. I'm like a Marine minus the service.
You keep your head up. You're listening for mortar shells.
But instead of that, I'm just a guy who needs to lose some weight. So there's nothing noble.
You can't make weight to be a Marine. They've asked you to leave.
All the Marines who listen are like so offended right now that John even...
They're like, I'm just like a Marine when I eat my large fries. I've been dishonorably discharged.
I'm not making the joke that comes next after that. Anyway, but yeah, it was okay. I survived, and everyone else did.
And no one got your fries?
I did give a fry to my wife.
Just one, but Sadie did not.
She only wanted one, and there was only one left. Or two.
She took the last fry?
I was going, but it was large. So at that point, it was
that
a large fry.
Is...
It was good, though. She goes, oh, these are soggy. I was like, I like them soggy.
I like them soggy, too.
You know what I'm saying? And so she didn't want more because they were soggy. And I was like, ooh, yeah, give me
a soggy fry. I like a soggy fry.
Do you like runny ice cream? I like runny ice cream. On the edges, especially.
Yeah, like a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a frosty?
Oh, yeah.
When it starts to melt down? Or a blizzard?
Oh.
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Now I'm starving.
Yeah.
And kind of angry with you.
I wonder if anyone ever I wonder if anyone ever switched between Wendy's, working for Wendy's and working for, sorry, work. They used to work at Dairy Queen. Yeah. They go to Wendy's, make a Frosty, and they go to hand it to you and they turn it upside down. Like, that would be a fun.
Yeah. You just out of.
Like, oh,
or you just turn everything upside down at your house, too.
Here's your coffee. Yeah. I just pour it right on you. And listener, we hope that we've not turned a hot piping cup of coffee on its end in your life today. Johnny?
That's your segue? All right. Sure. I can live with it.
Well, every week we do it. I feel like it, I don't know, it's got to be tied in. So
we hope that we've mixed in some goodness into your,
I don't know.
When you go to Dairy Queen now, they ask if you want extra candy pieces.
Really?
For like 60 cents. If you go, I want a Reese's Blizzard, they go, would you like extra Reese's?
Really?
For 60 more cents? And you're like, what do I look like here?
Well, I'd be a fool not to, right?
Yeah, well, I'm here.
You're like, no, I brought my own. Like, exactly. You're reaching the back and having a you guys should go to our website, though, and check it out.
Talk about that podcast.com. Over 180 archived episodes right there for you. For your listening enjoyment. You can also check out our Patreon there if you want to kick in a few shekels and help out the show. We'd appreciate that. If not, look, we know it's tight for some people. No big deal. But if you want to help us make more content, we appreciate it, and we love you.
Yeah. Check out all of Johnny's socials, man. You should go check him out on Instagram and also his Amazon special, his Dry Bar special.
Yeah. You can watch all that stuff for free.
It's all very special.
It is very special. And I got more stuff coming. I'm very excited. I'm out touring again, so you can check out my website and find out where I'm going to be. I'll be in a city near you, perhaps.
Yeah, very likely. Yeah. Hey, and do me a favor. If you've not ordered a copy of Not So Black and White,
go to notsoblackandwhitebook.com.
Yep.
And you can order it there and leave a review. That helps other people find the book, and it helps John with just promotion.
Yeah. And if you have already ordered on Amazon and you haven't left a review yet, that actually really helps. A lot of you guys have, but you don't have to necessarily review it unless you want to, but you could even rate it. Just go rate it. Mm-hmm. And just the stars. And then, you know, if you want to write something about it, that's great, too.
It's 5 stars.
It's got 5-star rating right now.
Yeah. Out of 10, so that's nice.
Yeah, yeah, we.
That's
they created a new thing for
that's
us.
Disappointing.
Well, we appreciate you joining us every week, and we look forward to doing it again next week on
Talk About That.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.